6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept a common purse used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Gain or loss? It's a simple question. But how we answer it can be an important indicator of where we are in our walk of faith. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Philippi while he is imprisoned in Rome, held captive because his belief that Jesus Christ is Lord, a belief that he will eventually be killed for. Paul points out how he had it all made. He was a respected Jewish religious figure. He was, according to all the Jewish beliefs and practices of the time, in right relationship with God, following all the commandments to be faithful. He also had success in the secular world as one who was a Roman citizen, given certain rights and privileges that were not accorded to those who were not. There's nothing more that he could ask for. And he considered all these to be gain. Now, the word used here is one that comes from the business world. It meant trading up, exchanging one mediocre thing for something that was better, a better deal. And yet, after his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul has come to see all of these things as rubbish. Good for nothing but to be thrown away, traded for something better. These things he once regarded as gain, the best deal in life, he now saw as loss, a bad deal, one that came with a penalty. As one author puts it, in this letter, Paul is affirming a new reality where followers of the Lord Jesus Christ accept a new and radical value system, where background and heritage, education and training, religious and political convictions and activism and lifestyle matter not one jot compared to the value of knowing Christ as Lord. Paul has experienced firsthand the repentance, the changing of the mind that is talked about so much in the Gospel of Luke, a change in the way that he sees things that leads to a change in how he lives. Gain or loss. You often hear stories about people who have the same kind of reevaluation of their viewpoint when some tragedy strikes. Cancer or another serious illness, a major life change, divorce, birth of a child, death of a loved one. And suddenly all those things that seemed important were important, were the better deal, gain to the world they lived in, now are revealed to be rubbish. A bad deal that was worthless in the end. Wealth, the perfect job, power, the best car, the latest electronics, being recognized in public, playing on all the right sports teams, going to the right schools, being in the most extracurricular activities, suddenly all the time and energy spent on these things seems wasted. in these moments, we pierce the veil of delusion that we place before our eyes and we see things as they really are. In these moments, especially those of deep despair and sorrow, we encounter the cross of Jesus Christ. It shows us just how out of control we really are, how all that we thought was gain is loss, and it leaves us broken. At the foot of the cross, with nowhere else to turn but to the one who hangs on the cross. Paul had that experience on the road to Damascus. And now he lives as what Luther calls a theologian of the cross. See, a theologian of the cross calls a thing what it is. And Paul does this in his letter to the Philippians when he calls his former hope as a righteous Jew and a faithful citizen of the Roman emperor lost. A change in understanding that costs him status, prestige, and eventually his life, but a change he regards as gain. Gain or loss? We stand like Jesus and those at table with him only a short time from the cross. We are a week from Palm Sunday and Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We are 11 days from Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper with his disciples, 12 from Good Friday, and the death of Jesus. We've journeyed through a good three quarters of the 40 days of Lent. What have we learned in this renewed encounter with Jesus? How have we been transformed? What do we value, consider gain in our lives? What do we consider loss, a bad deal, one with a penalty? Do we see things truly, or are we just deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us? Of what do we still need to repent? Six days before the Passover. Six days before his betrayal. Six days before death. And Jesus sits at the table. Others are at the table. A celebration given by Lazarus and his sisters. Along with others, we know that Mary, sister to Lazarus, and Judas, disciple of Jesus, are at the table. And each illustrates this tension between gain and loss. Mary experiences in her anointing of Jesus with the nard gain. It's an intimate experience of love, an expression of love. Perhaps it's an expression of grief, of anticipation of what will happen to Jesus a week later. It is certainly a response to the actions of Jesus for her brother, Lazarus, raised from the stink of death, who even now eats at table with Jesus. The nard is an extravagant gift, worth over a year's wage for a daily worker, and it's now gone. Laved onto the feet of Jesus, soaked into her own hair, the fragrance filling the room, rich and earthy, gone. But gain. Trading up. A better deal. Gain for Mary. Gain of the joy of thanking and honoring the one who gave her brother life. Gain for a woman who echoes the actions Jesus will take with the disciples on Maundy Thursday when he washes their feet. Gain for the intimate connection with her rabbi. Mary is the one who, according to Luke, sat at Jesus' feet, learning as a disciple when last he came to her house. She is one whose mind has been transformed, who saw the extravagant gift that was Christ, and to return that honor was a better deal than anything else she had been offered. And then there's Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, who was also a disciple, who journeyed with Jesus during his ministry, but who saw in this moment only loss. What a waste. That nard could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Nice words to cover the selfish nature of the request. John certainly is clear in his view of Judas. But even assuming he was honest, it was loss because it was wasted in his mind. Because the value you could have gotten from it went to such an extravagant gesture. Because measured against what Judas assumed was present in Christ, it was too much. It was sacrifice on their part. What do we see in this moment? Gain or loss? Are we Mary at the feet of Christ? Or are we Judas at the table, not really seeing Jesus for who he is? Seeing more value in expensive perfume than in the Messiah, the one who will save us? As we are present here together on this Sunday morning, assembled around word and sacrament, do we count this as gain or loss? Is it the best deal we could have to, as Martin Luther put it in his explanation of the third commandment, not despise preaching or God's word, but instead keep that word holy and gladly hear and learn it? Or is this time loss? A bad deal? Is it gain to share from our sometimes meager resources to help others eat? To help them recover from flood or hurricane or fire? Or is that loss, a waste of resources? Ones that could have been better spent on feeding me and my family or investing in our own future? Is it gain to spend time in prayer and reading scripture? Or is it loss? What eyes do we see our relationship with Jesus? With the eyes of Mary, knowing that anything we offer is a pittance against what Christ has given us, ready to sit at his feet and learn how to love God, love others? Or the eyes of Judas, only seeing how this can help us, focused on the ways of the world to which we are so in bondage? Gain or loss? Perhaps it's not so much about choice, but about diagnosis. If, as Martin Luther often reflects, our lot in life is best described as having the sickness of sin, maybe this question is more a diagnostic tool. One that helps us determine how much more medicine that we need. If we see gain in Christ, as Mary does, gain that trumps everything else, we've already probably partaken of this medicine that is the gospel, that is the grace of God. More is needed to be sure, but we know it's working. If we see loss in Christ in our following of him and his way of life, then we might more clearly see indeed how sick we are, how in need of Christ we are and the grace that we receive through him. And this too has value. For it's only when we see clearly with the eyes of a theologian of the cross calling a thing what it is that we can understand what the cure is. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now we cannot know the fullness of God that is present in Jesus Christ. We will still confuse gain and loss. We will still succumb to the sickness of sin, selfishness turned in on ourselves. We will still turn our backs on God and the life fuller and more abundant that God offers. But perhaps, like Mary, as we complete this journey through Lent, in the walk through Holy Week, perhaps we might see the way God creates for us in the desert. We'll actually perceive the new thing that is about to spring forth at the resurrection of our Lord, that we might see in Jesus dead on the cross the death of our own self-delusion, our own willfulness, our own illusion of self-control, and that we might feel a stirring of something new, a new growth that will spring up as surely as the flowers are rising from the ground now, a resurrection that comes to us when we see on that great getting up day the empty tomb. For there lies our hope. Gain or loss. Life and death. But we are a people of resurrection. Thanks be to God.